Welcome back to The Brandon White Show, where we have conversations worth listening to give you an edge to win in your business and your life. I'm your host, Brandon White. Here we go. Welcome to the weekend edition. This is an audio version of a story I've written in the email that I send to over 24,000 people each week that gives readers an edge to win in their business and their lives. The stories share lessons from mistakes I've made and how to avoid them, or successes I've had and how I did it, so you can copy the plan to accelerate your success. The stories are short, but rich with information you'll find useful and, as importantly, actionable for your life. If you enjoy this episode and want them delivered to your inbox before they come out in this podcast, check the link in the show notes. The email is written by me, is packed with other great information like a weekly investing column, and is delivered to you once a week on the weekend. Claim your subscription in the show notes. It's free. This week, I'm reading you an essay from July 9th, 2023, titled, How to Get Someone to Do What You Want. I was reading an article recently, and in it, it was talking about how Warren Buffett said he could fix the U.S. increasing deficit with one simple incentive. He said, if the deficit exceeds GDP by more than 3%, all sitting Congress is not eligible to be reelected. You likely just laughed. You laugh because it's true, and it would easily work. The complexity of getting that law passed is a whole other discussion that we're not going to cover today, but it illustrates the point on how powerful properly designed incentive structures are. Warren's longtime partner, Charlie Munger, says the following in almost every single Berkshire Hathaway meeting: show me the incentive, and I will show you the outcome. The amount of times I've heard someone to tell me they are frustrated that someone or a group aren't doing the behavior they want is too many to count. But almost every time we take a deeper look at how that person or group of people's compensation structure, their job security situation is designed, we discover the flaw in the incentive structure. Let me give you three examples you can use as frameworks to design your own incentives around the behaviors you want people to achieve. Each is a reminder how simple, correctly designed incentives can be wildly successful. Number one, the founder who wants more managing to fix poor performance. Recently, I was talking with a founder and he wanted to get the customer service department to have a better net promoter score. He came up with six ways to Sunday how they were going to do a new training program and how management needed to, quote unquote, crack down on watching people. Sure enough, when I asked, how are the customer service reps incentivized? He discovered the real issue. Agents got bonuses based on length of the call, not satisfaction that the issue was resolved. What would you do if you were a customer service representative with this compensation plan? Likely what the agents were doing, getting people off the phone as quick as possible, no matter what. It led to agents being short, feeling under pressure to get their customer off the phone. This left the customer feeling like the company was rude, didn't care, and resulted in the customer giving poor ratings to the customer service agent. This, in turn, hurt the company's brand, which, in turn, you guessed it, hurt company sales. No matter how much, quote unquote, management was added to this situation, it was never going to work. A simple change in incentive to reward higher ratings, or a combination of higher ratings where it is weighted more than the call duration, will change this overnight with no management. Imagine that. The second example, Stockholm, Sweden reduces car congestion. In the mid-2000s, Stockholm city officials faced a growing problem, traffic congestion. Sweden's capital, located on roughly 75 square miles across 14 islands, is the nation's political, economic, and cultural center. It's also the most populated area in the entire Nordic region. At the time, Stockholm County's population was expanding by 20,000 people a year, with more than 500,000 cars zooming in and out of the city, up and down the bridges and tunnels linking the city of islands. Bottlenecks and delays were becoming the norm. It was only going to get worse without some sort of intervention. They tried awareness programs around the advantages of carpooling, some scare tactics like warning of the hour-long delays people would face if they didn't carpool or use public transportation. How do you think this quote unquote public relations campaign worked out? Correct. It didn't. Well, not entirely true. The PR firm probably made some good money without having to produce a good outcome because they weren't incentivized for a successful campaign, just one that sounded good on paper. Sorry, I couldn't resist not pointing this poor incentive structure out. Finally, the city came up with an idea. Each Swedish registered vehicle entering and leaving the city center between 6:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. on weekdays would pay a fee, the equivalent then of $3. IBM was hired to implement the technology needed to charge people by reading the license plates. Myra Hulsey was an IBM Global Technology CTO at the time and part of the team that built the system. He explained that they started with a pilot of 18 roadside control points strategically placed around the city's exits and entrances. When a car entered or left the control point boundary, one of two sensing mechanisms was activated. The Swedish Road Administration issued transponder tags to Swedish drivers. Once installed, these triggered automatic payments when the vehicles passed through the control points, a version of the fast track that we all know today. The result, Myra reported, quote, traffic levels went down and stayed down about 25%, surpassing the original targets of 10 to 15%. Those who took buses noticed they ran on time because there was less traffic. People in the city noticed a difference in noise and air quality as well. Your third example, China keeping their people healthy. China is by far from a perfect country, but there are a few things we can learn from them. One of the things is how they keep their 1.4 billion people healthy. Because the healthcare system is owned and paid for by the government, it is a major expense. Hospitals are almost all owned on a national or province level, and doctors work for the government. With this setup, the Chinese government is incentivized to keep people healthy and get them better when they are sick, fast, to reduce expenses. I remember reading about this in Chris Anderson's book called Free. In the book, it explained that Chinese doctors are paid monthly. When their patients are healthy and/or recover quickly from being sick, they get their full monthly salary. When their patients have more poor health or sick patients that don't get better fast, they get their pay reduced. There's surely some nuances to this pay structure where we can imagine things that can't be cured or are no fault of the doctors and don't count against them. But things like being overweight, high blood pressure, etc., are things seen as being able to control. You can easily see how this incentive structure leads to a healthier population. And it's easy to now understand why most of America's population is getting less healthy. I started to write a whole commentary on our U.S. health situation, but I'm going to leave that to another time. Point of this example is incentivize doctors correctly to produce healthy patients, and guess what you get? You got it, a much more healthy population. Summary. These examples aren't complicated or revolutionary ideas. The brilliance is in their application of aligning the incentive with the desired behavior. What incentive structure can you redesign this coming week in your life or business to change the behavior of a person or a group for the better? Your move.